as you get older, your circle of people you're willing to communicate with and hang out with and talk to you regularly just starts getting tighter and tighter.
And I'm keeping an eye on that circle, being like, one of you's got to go. I'm looking.
Trekking heavy or traveling light, there's one thing that's right wherever I go. That's where I am.
There she is. How are you? Welcome to the show. Welcome to This Week in Zoltan. I am Zoltan. This is my podcast. This is episode 374. And you're here. We're here. I got we got Mike on the ones and twos.
Hey, guys.
There it is. The nice hey, guys. We got the one and only Emma on hey. Red and Shotgun. I'm sorry, I cut off your hello.
Yeah, I'll do it again. Hello.
There it is. We are on different energies this morning.
Yes, we are.
You are on a regular plane energy, which is what I like to call. Mm-hmm. And I am on the obnoxious guy who woke up early and went to the gym.
Yeah, so annoying.
I've done nothing but annoy you since the sun came. Since that first bird squawked through the window. That It's a very unique sex call that comes out of birds in the Brooklyn neighborhood that we live in springtime. It's a My favorite is the pause and the last. It's like, do you want to have sex with me? Like they ask the question, they pause, and they go specifically with me, not just in general.
Do you want to have sex? What was that?
Are you sure? It's a consensual bird. Yeah. But ever since... Sensually consensual.
Yeah, yeah. I really want it. If you want it.
Yeah. If not, we can just go poke around on the sidewalk for seeds. Mm. You know, whatever you're into. But so ever since I woke up and went to the gym, I heard that bird. Then I went to the gym. Then I came back. And you've been at a normal tone. And I've been up here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... I feel like most days you're here because you have a what I like to call a normal, balanced mood and personality, and I'm either here or here.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that usually how it goes?
Or sometimes you roller coaster up and down.
Yeah, I think I have mental issues. I had an aunt that I think had...
Don't deflect.
No.
You have mental problems. I have family. Let me talk about... Did you guys see the eclipse?
I had an aunt that was, I don't know if it was properly diagnosed, but manic, depressive, bipolar. I don't think I'm any of those, but I definitely, when days are good, I'm very good, like annoyingly good. And when days are bad, you're like, do you need some time to yourself? Mm-hmm. Like, those are my two. Every once in a while, I'm in the middle.
Yep.
That's how the morning's gone right there. That was the example of the morning.
It's just been a lot. It's been a lot of you.
It's been a lot of me. Yeah. And not only that, it's been a lot of us traveling. Because mm-hmm. you came back on the road with me starting Vegas, maybe before it.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Oh. Yeah,
it's a lot.
You're like, cooked.
I can't do it anymore.
You're not coming to Tampa.
I canceled my next flight.
Yeah.
To Tampa, and I'm staying home for a good month.
You're taking a month off?
Taking a month off.
No, because we're going to L.A. You got 3 weeks. I'm sorry. See, that's the level of annoyance that I've been, where you're like, I'm taking a month off. And I'm like, well, actually, you got 3 weeks. And you're like, why are you taking that week away from me? That's the, I got that annoying workout energy, which also doesn't last. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't last for me. It goes, by the time we're done with this and we get home, I'm going to want to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get all cruddy. And then...
Yeah, usually when you start off on a high, then you tank pretty quick.
You tank. What about when I start off on a low?
There may or may not be highs when you start on lows.
But I'm more consistent when I start low.
Yeah.
If I can take a notice,
yeah.
I mean, do you mind putting the microphone up to you? Because your levels are also,
you're
so much softer than him.
Than my work.
You're both, yeah.
I can't really raise
So there's a visual aspect or an audio aspect of the whole thing too. Hang on, here we go.
No, leave this in.
For sure.
Yeah, this is all part of it. There we go.
Normally that works.
There we go.
The energy is You're on a much lower energy.
Well, you know, one of us hopped on an elliptical for 10 minutes, and my heart's still pumping like a rabbit. I'm just trying to get up to normal resting heart rate. That's what I'm trying to get.
I'll try not to be so monotone.
No, no, it's not the monotone. It's my energy's here. You know what it's like? It's like if it's like if Axl Rose sang with who's that whisper singer guy? Like, it's like if Axl Rose sang with Mariah Carey. You know how Mariah Carey does the and then she'll go like she'll get into it there.
Did you mean whistle? She does that whistle.
Yeah, with
it. Cry.
So imagine.
Wait, what was that one more time?
Let's do a zoom in on his face.
That was a zoom.
That's Mariah Carey, and then Axl Rose is like, wow, and if they sang a song together, it would be an audio engineering nightmare of trying to figure out who to boost up, who to bring down. So that's what I'm saying, you know? You're coming in at good levels. I'm coming in way too hot to trot.
Cool.
Well, we got before we get into more of that, let's talk about our one and only sponsor, the Safe Journal. SafeJournal.co. You get 25% off if you use Zoltan at checkout and a handwritten note by me. But first, let me talk to you about the Safe Journal. It's a journal for your feelings, not to chart your workouts. I mean, I guess you could do that, but that's not what it's for. It's to chart your feelings. You wake up in the morning, you go, how am I feeling? And then you write about it, or you could write about it at lunchtime, or you could write about it before you go to bed. And the best part of it, it's set up with metrics so you can track your moods on certain days. Like, let's say I notice I'm in a better mood when the windows open in the morning and I can hear birds actively calling for sexual partners. Let's say that's what does it for me. And then on the mornings when the window's closed, I wake up sad. Maybe I need to boost the window open and hear the sexual mating calls of birds. That's the kind of stuff you can learn if you have a Safe Journal. Way better stuff. Like if you go to therapy, they say journaling is a good accompaniment to therapy sessions. This is perfect for that. Because you can go into that therapist and go, this is what I felt. This is the day I felt it on. This is the time I felt it on. And this is what the weather was like. And I still tried to say something positive at the end. This is what I came up with. Safe Journal, safejournal.co, not .com, can't afford that, .co, Zoltan at checkout, and a handwritten note by me. What'd you think of the pitch?
I zoned out.
thank you. I forgot. I had a line to say after that, and I was not expecting you to say that, and it went out the window. Yeah, I lost it. It's over.
It's okay.
It's all right. We're here. We didn't watch the eclipse. Mike, you didn't see it?
I did not. I mean, I saw the effects of it, but I was at home working. I didn't. It was cloudy and it was in full coverage. I've seen the eclipse before. I'm good.
People went crazy for the damn eclipse.
They showed a map. Airbnbs in the path were all sold out. It was like this red line across the country. It was kind of cool.
You guys are a bunch of nerds. I got to tell you. Maybe I stay in too many hotels with blackout curtains that I'm not that impressed when it gets really dark at noon. But I mean, I get it, but I did the thing where I looked at it. I'm also too stupid for it. Like, I put it on and I burned my eyes because I went, and then before I looked away, and that got me good. But I mean, pretty much, if you take a flashlight with a golf ball, that's what you see. That's what you're looking at. It's a flashlight with a golf ball. The places where you actually notice the full eclipse is like where you were saying they're renting out Airbnbs. I think it was like Cleveland, Buffalo, a few others where it went from daylight to dark and then the temperature changed really quick. I think that would be the cool part of experiencing the eclipse, seeing it go dark and then feeling the temperature change for that few minutes that
watching
it's
birds
down.
Go nuts because they don't know what's going on. They're freaking out.
Well, we
birds and news anchors, they just lose their minds during the eclipse.
Dude, I've been getting news articles on my Google app about this damn eclipse for 2 weeks. They're like, flights are sold out to view the eclipse. That means people bought a commercial flight, not even for the where they're going. It was for the... And then, like, what happens if the eclipse is on the right side and then you got left side wings? Does that mean a bunch of nerds from the other side are coming over your shoulder with their stupid glasses?
They were.
Oh, get at it.
I saw clips of people on planes. Clips of the eclipse.
Clips of the eclipse.
Apparently there was a spike in the Google search term, my eyes hurt.
Yes.
The eclipse.
I was part of that. Because I pulled it away too fast. And it, or actually what I did, we were at your brother's house and I had my glasses on. I got these big frame glasses for seeing my eyesight. And then they gave me the toy, eye cover, which only covered this much of my glasses, but it covered my eyeballs, I thought. And then I looked at it through that, but I think the sun hit the top part of my magnified glasses and like my eyeballs were like ants to children with magnifying glasses. It just seared the top of my eyeballs. And then I Googled. Mm-hmm. I Googled that. I wonder what Google says when you Google that. They just go, yeah, that'll happen.
That's why we gave you the glasses.
Yeah. It'd be great if Google had just dad responses where you're like, I fell down and my elbow hurts. And you're like, yep, that'll happen. And that's as far as you could. That's probably how Google works in North Korea. You know, where you're like, what's going on in France? We don't live in France. Sounds like none of your business.
What's France?
Yeah.
It's just Google with a tab in his chin. Just like, France. Nope.
Do you mean Kim Jong-un? Did you mean to Google our great leader, Kim Jong? What did David Tell call him? Kim Jong-um?
I think so, yeah. That's so good.
Oh, I love David Tell. Great comedy special, Hot Cross Buns. But yeah, we had a really fun weekend. I did a show in Saratoga, where your brother lives. We got to hang out mm-hmm. with them. They have two little boys. We got to see what it's like to have little boys.
Mm-hmm.
And the word I came up to describe children of that age is relentless.
Mm-hmm.
They have no tired. They don't get a, you know how like my mood is here and here? Mm-hmm. Their energy level stayed consistent at Blitzkrieg. And like it happens so subtly because the boys are a little shy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they never really talked to me the other couple times I saw them. They were at family events, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I came over and we're sitting at the counter. And they're not really talking to me. They're just kind of eyeing us, you mm-hmm. know, kind of from the corners. And they're very cute kids. But then the oldest one comes by and just hooks my arm and just tugs on me. And I go, oh, what are we doing? And then he takes me into the bedroom that we're staying in.
Mm-hmm.
And the other brother follows in. And it just turns into a pillow fight. They just grab the pillows of the bed and they just start beating me. It was almost like a gang initiation. And so I start fighting back. It starts getting pretty heated. Like I'm whacking these kids in the face, knocking them down. And they're double teaming me. And I'm going hard the first like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, minute and a half. Then I start to, you know, I'm like, whoo, and they start building momentum. I felt like an old boxer fighting a young boxer.
Like, you're like, stretched, did you?
Yeah. I'm like getting sweaty in the room, and this is like before kids sweat. Like the kids don't get sweaty at 7. You know, you don't even get tired. And so they're starting to work me over pretty good. And so I'm like dodging them with my footwork. I'm working on my pivots. And the oldest one would have a move where he just covers his head like this, elbows out, and would just ram jam. Like, if you ever watched the movie The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke's finishing move was the ram jam, where he'd go on the top rope and just do this and go, ah, and then he'd drive his elbow. That's what he was doing, but from a running standpoint. And I got pretty good, you know, I go to boxing, I got footwork like the great Vasily Lomachenko,
sure.
And I pivoted his ass, all right? Like, he came right at me, I took one step out, did my pivot, he ran right into the closet door, started crying, and then I'm like, shut up! Like, I didn't know if I get in trouble.
You're standing over top of him, he's bleeding, and you're just like, hey man, you're telegraphing your pivot foot, so learn from that, buddy.
But I was like, I get nervous. Yeah, I don't have kids. So I'm like, they're crying. They're going to think it's me. I'm like, shh, that was your fault. That was your fault. Your brother shoved you. And, but then your brother came in and he was like, ah, what'd you do? Like, obviously you knew it wasn't me. And I'm like, right, yeah, kids. Kids. But it was a great crash course of what it would be like to have two young boys in the household.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
But they're also very cute, but it's also a lot.
Yeah, like from the moment they wake up, it's playtime until the moment they go to sleep.
Yes.
It just never stops.
Yeah, they're like puppies. They're like puppies, and sure, you wait for them to take a nap. I don't know if you've ever had to take care of a puppy. One time at the mechanic shop, someone brought a puppy, and I had to watch it because I was working in the office, and this thing tugged at my pant leg like a cartoon for 8 hours. Like, it didn't stop. And I was like, the only time it stopped is when I fed him some lunch, and then right when he was done, he came back and just started like tearing my pants apart. And I was like, this sucks.
You should have taken the peanut butter off your pants. Pants made out of beef jerky. That's all those Slim Jims you used to eat.
Makes sense that after the day he looked up at me and goes, you know, you were asking for it. this is what you wanted.
You smell like cured meat, so I can't help you, bud. Sweaty feet of yours.
This was during a very unhealthy period in my life where I think I was eating a lot of meat sticks, and I think I was sweating whatever a Slim Jim smells like. Yeah. When that's coming out of my pores. But it was fun to be around them, and they fell off the counter like 800 times. These kids just climb everything.
Yeah.
And the other one just...
They're talking about the puppy again. Oh, no.
There were like three major events every day. Like,
yeah, crying events.
Yeah, like hitting the head against the wall, concussion, and then the next one was like dropping a plant, breaking a plant.
Shattered.
Yeah, and then what else was there? Falling off the countertop.
Yeah.
Every day there were three major...
At least, and we were gone most of Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, we were gone most of Sunday. We don't even know what happened there.
Yeah.
And on one of the days, your brother took him to Home Depot. Can you imagine? With all the stuff at Home Depot, he's over there, got a table saw or something, like chasing his brother.
You know, a lot of kids get kidnapped from Home Depot. He's like, yeah, I know. Why do we go so often?
Why do you think we were hanging out in the... what section do you think kids would be kidnapped from the most?
Self-checkout.
The key kiosk in the front. Yeah. I think that's where they get their kids. But they were a lot of fun too. Like they're both really smart. Mm-hmm. Like the oldest one has two chess trophies, which I only know that because he used that along with like 500 pillows to try to barricade us into the room. I came out of the bedroom. There's just all these pillows and two chess trophies. Like, he's rubbing it in my face. And then we beat him in chess, you and me together.
It took two of us.
It took two of us, and it was close.
Yeah.
It came down to nut cutting time. And we ended up beating this kid. And I was way too proud of beating a 7-year-old with your help as a team in a game of chess.
Yeah, I remember you were so proud of winning. And then my sister-in-law, she came in and she's like, okay, but you know you would have won if you played one-on-one. Like, he was talking to Daniel.
Yeah, so to like make
he's
sure.
He's like, calm down, Zoltan. Like,
yeah, like I totally forgot that I was playing with a kid because he was so good at chess that I, like, when I won, I was like, yeah, suck it. Like, I was like, I was like over the top because, first of all, I don't play chess a lot. I also beat him in checkers, for the record, let the record show. Never move your back row. That's what he learned that day. I learned that from the Chris Farley movie, Black Sheep, where he's playing checkers with David Spade, and he's like, and he loses, and David Spade's like, three games in a row, I never win at checkers. This is great. and Chris Farley goes, yeah, this is great. Pretty easy to win when you never move your back row ever. God.
Oh, I miss that guy.
I love that scene, and so I always remembered never move your back row, and you'll win at checkers every time.
My niece kicks my ass in Connect Four. Can't beat her.
yeah, that's a tough
one.
Peter. Mm-hmm. There's too many angles.
It's too much.
Yeah.
they have too much optimism. Yeah, yeah. In their little eyes.
it's a hard game. It's 3D. Let's play 2D on paper. Yeah, I'll whoop you. Yeah, hey, we got a chance. Tic-tac-toe. We
can play main countries. I bet you I beat you on that one. Yeah. Your tiny ass little brain.
You just look at him and go, I got a credit card. Do you have a credit card?
You ever heard of Croatia? Bet you haven't. You ever heard of Rhodesia? Yeah, it's not a country anymore. Still got it.
But he's so, this kid is so smart, way smarter than I was.
He's also going to Python coding camp.
Like, oh, yeah, he was going to camp, and the way that they let out what the camp was happened so slowly.
Yeah.
Because when I heard camp, I probably thought what you thought.
Yeah, you which thought is Boy like, Scouts.
Yeah, or like sleepaway camp. Yeah. Like you go in a tent and you kayak or something, canoe, mm-hmm. whatever. And then slowly I was like, oh, what kind of camp are you going to? He goes, Python. And I thought that was like the name of his troupe. And I'm like,
ooh, a wrestling camp. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I thought it was like that was the name and they're going to go against the rattlesnakes and battle in a game of camps, camp versus camp. And then it was like Python, and I was like, all right. And then I forget what led to it next, but then slowly I pieced together that this was a name of coding, mm-hmm. like a way to code. And I was like, oh, you're getting ready.
Man, yeah. The government's really affecting these kids, man, pretending it's a fun camp. It's making us all robots. That's right, kid. I can afford weed too, man.
I know your brother's not scared mm-hmm. because he's an engineer?
Computer engineer.
Yeah, computer engineer. So he's a master coder. That's mm-hmm. what he does. But like if we had kids, mm-hmm. I'd be scared to send them off to learn something that we don't know. Mm. I think that's a real... would you feel comfortable sending the kids off to learn coding when you and I don't know any coding?
As long as they're out of the house.
Yeah, but what if they come back in and they reprogram the robo litter box to shoot the turds at us when we're asleep, you know? Or they hack into the Brita and turn it into Sunny D. I don't know. That'd actually be an upgrade. But like, what if they come back and they mess with our electronics and we don't know how to combat these damn mm-hmm. kids, you know?
Yeah. I'd like, be okay with it.
You'd be all right with it?
Yeah.
All right.
Just but I get your point.
Yeah, get them out of the house.
It's a funny premise, though, yeah. for a bit.
It is.
That's really good.
It's a decent one.
Yeah.
The guy that opened for me at the Saratoga show, Jeff Dean, he was very funny. Go check him out. But he brought up, man, as I was saying, I forgot it. What did he bring up? He's bringing up
Sting?
Kids.
Oh,
no.
The... Something I know about what you're kids. Talking about. She was just talking about being a good person, that thing?
No, it was something more to do with kids, but he did say that good thing about comedians being right. narcissists, because he has a sister-in-law that's a malignant narcissist. I don't know if you've heard of that term, but apparently it's a narcissist that...
Heard of it. I don't know how to spell it. I can't even look it up. I'm like malignant.
I was writing, I was working on a script yesterday, and I misspelled obstructed so bad that spell check had no clue how to help me. I spelled it upstructed. UPSTRUCKED. Upstructed, I think is what I spelled. And then I respelled it into Google, and Google auto-corrected before I even finished the word. They're like, you mean like with an O? And I was like, yeah, probably.
Well, I thought it was directional, like instructed, obstructed.
You know, like you're obstructing me. Like I was seeing good, and then you came up and obstructed.
That's why I love speech to text, because if I can't spell it and Google has no idea, I just say it, and they're like, we got it.
We got it, dum-dum.
We figured it out. A malignant narcissist is someone with a inflated sense of self-worth, a need for admiration, and a disregard for others. Sounds like a comedian.
Well, this is...
That's why it came up.
This is why we talked about it.
She goes, I'm a malignant narcissist. Zoltan? Just staring at you for 10 minutes. Like, I don't know what's happening here. Like, I know you don't because you don't care about anyone else. That's why you don't understand.
So hard. I grew up so I think my upbringing, I obviously don't want to take responsibility for my actions, classic narcissism, but like I grew up an only child, and my mom felt so bad that I had to spend so much time alone that when she came home, she kind of let me do whatever I want. You know, I didn't have a younger brother until I was 13, so I never had to consider other people's wants and needs and interests and desires, because it's about me. Mm-hmm. I'm the only child, you know? And that has followed me into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And now I have to actively go, wait a second, where do you want to have lunch? Like, that's a real thought that I have to have.
Why did you put your earbuds in after you asked that question? Okay. We're halfway there.
My favorite is when you ask me a question. You did this today. You did this today. Where you'll ask me a question, and then when I start answering the question, you'll do something really loud. So you'll grab ice from the ice machine. You go, whoosh, 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 whoosh. Or you'll start to vacuum as soon as I open my mouth and go, whoosh. Like, it is, you do it so often. It is the most annoying thing ever.
I don't mean to. The worst part is I wish I meant to do it, because then I could go, you know, but I swear to you, I don't mean to do it.
I know you don't mean to do it.
But it's funny how it does line up with every time you have, it's your turn.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, like I came back from the gym and I'm like, man, I want a glass of ice water. But then I was like running around doing other stuff. And then we were talking, I don't even remember what we were talking about. Classic narcissist. And
classic malignant.
Yeah. Malagallant. Malagallant narcissist. I didn't even know what we were talking about, but I asked you something, and then I was like, finally, I have my second. So I get the ice bucket out, and as soon as you start talking, I go, whoosh, and then you're like, oh. And you walk off, I'm like, I've been thirsty for 4 minutes. I've been waiting to do this. It's the negative side of the beautiful part of being around the person you love so much.
It's the
negative side about.
Let's get our shoes on so we don't spin too hard. Go ahead. Let's get our grippy socks on so we don't lose our balance while he spins us around. Go ahead.
in my web of narcissistic explanations, but I'm like, because we get to spend time around each other, and just like most couples do. And this is the dark side of it, where like little things like that, you're like, I'll kill you now.
Yeah.
You know?
I hit you because I love you.
For the record, there's no violence in our household.
That we're willing to disclose.
Yeah, that we're willing to disclose on a public podcast. Sign up for the Patreon. I'll tell you about the...
the domestic abuse.
I'll tell you about the time she drop kicked me.
It's not the beating you think it is. It's the other way. It's real.
Anyway, malignant narcissist, like he described what it is, Jeff Dean did. Apparently it's his sister-in-law. Maybe I shouldn't repeat his name and call out his sister-in-law. but he's like, oh yeah, she's a malignant narcissist. And I'm like, how's that different from like comedians? And he's like, oh, well, comedians are definitely narcissists, but we don't want to hurt anybody. We just want all their attention and success and fame. We don't want anyone to feel bad. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is our level of mm-hmm. narcissism. For the most part, I'm sure some comedians do want someone to feel bad. But I think for the most part, mm-hmm. we want everyone to laugh and just praise us and mm-hmm. be nice.
Yeah, for the most part, you guys are kind-ish.
Kind, but selfish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're kind of over us hanging out with comedians.
Yeah.
There's very few. Mm-hmm. Like maybe this also happens as you get older. Mike, maybe you can attest to this. We're in the same age bracket where like as you get older, your circle of people you're willing to communicate with and hang out with and talk to you regularly just starts getting tighter and tighter.
And I'm keeping an eye on that circle. Being like, one of you's got to go. I'm looking. I got a laser beam looking for someone else I can get rid of.
Can I cut?
Who can I get out of here? Mm-hmm. We don't talk that much anymore. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's,
and that's on me. You didn't really do much. You just got dropped off.
You know what? I think I'm over texting. I think that's what it is. Like, I'll text with my friends mm-hmm. and we'll go back and forth. Like, my comedian friends and my friends that aren't in comedy, But like, I don't want to text anymore. I just like, and I know we live far apart from each other, even my friends that live in the city, like we can't just hang out all the time, but I'm not a big texter.
Yeah, your phone makes you angry. Like every time you get texts or phone calls,
I start
like,
fuming.
Just leave me alone. Yeah,
I yell out, just leave me alone. And it's like a phone call going, hi, we're offering you money. Would you like to come do money things for money? Do you need money? Is your rent due again? And then I'm like, ah, leave me alone. And like, or it's a friend going, hi, how are you? Ah, like I'm such a.
But to be fair, you get a lot of texts.
It's insane.
Like more than the average person.
Yeah.
I get overwhelmed looking at your phone.
Right. And then you compare it to your phone and the number of texts you get.
Yeah.
Because we were in a group chat to go into when we were going to Portugal with our friends, and I muted the group chat. Like everyone's like saying all these things, responding to every like GIF and meme and what have you. And then I would just like put a thumbs up in there or something. Like every 4 weeks, I'd be like, yep, see you in Portugal. And that's because I'm in 5 group chats. I'm in like a group chat with these other comedians from San Diego and we trash talk these other guys. And then I'm in a group chat with my friends that aren't comedians. And it's all the same. It's all the same memes. It's all the same videos. It's like that black guy with the big how do you do that's naked.
That's coming a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I got the best one was my buddy Bijan sent me a picture of an chocolate Easter bunny. But if you look closely, superimposed into the chocolate Easter bunny was the big schlongus fella.
Big schlongoots.
Yeah. Big old kielbasa there. And so I remember I downloaded that photo and then I sent it to my other group chat. And then they're like, oh, that's great. So I got credit. That's pretty much, meme stealing right there. I stole this group chat's meme and I claimed it as my own in this other one. And it's just too much. I don't want to do it.
That guy's not showing up as much in many checked anymore because he died.
He died?
Yeah.
Oh.
Blood probably.
Yeah, probably. I think he had brain.
Yeah, I think his brain didn't have enough blood.
Yeah, I think people have somehow disrespected him his entire life, and then when he died, they're like, let's respect this guy and take him out of these text groups. You don't see it pop up that much anymore.
Dude, that guy has a mom. Like, it's like my son. I wonder if, like, she ever was in a group chat with some girls from the church, and then someone sent that in the group chat, and like, she's just like, Billy? Like, oh my God.
Get out of this group chat. Why am I in this one? I'm 72 years old for crying out loud.
I don't want to text. I just want to be, I'm turning into Daryl Jones. Jason's dad, who was like a father figure to me, and I worked at his mechanic shop. He had a cell phone, which was pointless because he never used it. He didn't know how to use it, but the only one he would answer is his wife. And everyone else would call and be like, never pick up the phone. It was a pointless thing to have. I remember when he went to jury duty and ended up getting arrested at jury duty, we couldn't even get a hold of him because he would never open his phone anyway. That's, by the way, the best way to get out of jury duty is to cause such a ruckus that they handcuff you, and then afterwards the judge talks to you and goes, here's my business card. I'm going to excuse you from jury duty for the rest of your life, and you will never have to come. I think that's the best way to get out of it. But how did we end up there? Well, we were talking about kids. Because we were hanging out with your nephews, and we had a good time, but it was taxing. It was a lot of energy. They left you alone, which I don't know if you noticed that. They left you alone quite a bit, and they dragged me for assaults quite often.
I don't really interact much.
How do you do that? You're so good at
it. And I want to interact. I'm just really bad at it. You're very natural with kids because you like toys and you like to play. So I think you're naturally like drawn to kids for the toys.
It's true.
That was the nicest way I've heard someone say, you like kids because you are one.
It is true. They came over and they brought a deck of Pokemon cards. And like most adults would be like, oh, neat. And I was like, oh, yeah, you got this one? Oh, I love that. And I'm like, I got serious with it. And that's also why I'm not a good adult. When I beat them, I rub it in their face. Instead of like going, oh, you'll get them next time, bud. You know? I was so proud because we played video games and he put on FIFA. I was an old soccer. It was 2017, 2016. And I was playing and then he played. And I was kind of teaching him how to shoot. And he's like, I've never scored a goal on this. And I'm like, you've never scored a goal on this game? And he goes, no. And then I taught him a few things. A minute into the first game that he played of us together, he scores a goal. And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, you did it. And I also forgot how small he was. Like, I hit him too hard. I'm like, yeah. You're shaking him. You did it. And he's like, oh, my God, I got it.
I remember after, like, screen time was over, you came out and you were so jacked and pumped and happy.
I was like, so happy.
And I saw my brother, like, look at you like, whoa, like, what's going on here?
How long have I been telling you? Because we have an Xbox at home.
Yeah.
I'm just too lazy to set it up. And then we have one of those picture frame TVs where I'm like, I don't even know where to plug the thing into. But I haven't set it up, but I've been talking about wanting to set it up to play Madden, play Grand Theft Auto. And then they helped me out. I played a basketball game with them. And then we played soccer. And I was just so jacked on playing video games. You know, that's what I think about when I fall asleep.
Beating kids? People count sheep? I abuse children.
Mike's always ready.
Mike's always ready for the zingers. You are what Ed McMahon was supposed to be. But instead, all he came up with was, how tall was he?
Rah, 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 rah. How hard you punch him?
But no, when I'm trying to fall asleep and I'm trying to think of something boring and mundane enough to fall asleep, I think of the franchise mode that I had on Madden 2003. And I think about the quarterback that I had, Thomas Farr, who won. He's a fake player, you know, that came through the draft, but I groomed him. That's not the right term, but I got him to be a good player, and he won like 13 Super Bowls, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I was the best quarterback that ever lived right there. And I'll like think of their stats, and I'm like, oh yeah, the running back Mark Fleming out of Northwestern. Like, I remember their colleges. I was really invested into this game.
You have a jersey with his name on it. Where'd you buy that? But the ESPN store.
Okay. These fake players that I can't Google, but I've tried. You know, being like, oh, I wonder if there's any, you know, news articles on Thomas Farr, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Didn't know they had a football team, but apparently he played there. But that helps me fall asleep. So then when I played video games at your brother's house, I just like, yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. And then when screen time was over, I was visibly sad. Like, when screen time's over, all the kids go, aw, and I'm like, damn it! Ah! 36! It's never over. You know? Yeah, if we had kids, there would be no screen time limits.
There'd just always be screen time?
Yeah, we play until you fall asleep, and you sleep in the living room, and then I'll save the game. That's what I'll do as a responsible dad. I'll come in and save the game, and then in the morning, take you to school, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to parent kids.
It's so hard.
If you don't give them screen time.
Yeah. Because, like, then you got to be there.
You have to be there, yeah.
Like, the TV can do it, man. Like, I don't know what you think you're going to teach them, but a lot of the stuff that I learned, sure, school, definitely, but the TV. I learned so much about life. I mean, how many, like, cultural, not like, what's that called?
Like, didn't learn words.
Listen, I remember I learned a few big words that surprised some of my teachers because they knew my reading level. But they're like, why do you know the word profusely? And I was like, well, I grew up a pro wrestling fan. And when someone was bleeding, Jim Ross would go, he's bleeding profusely. And I was like, that must mean a lot because that guy's bleeding a lot. And then so that would, so I would know certain words, but then other ones. Obstructed, good Lord. Misspelled that so bad the computer couldn't help. But yeah, yeah. I we So after the trip, we're still kind of going back and forth on what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, we were very confused after that trip.
Yeah, because we're like, they were exhausting, but mm-hmm. they're still very cute. Mm-hmm. And I got along with them. Mm-hmm. And you did too. You got along with them. We beat them in chess. It was a nice team effort. It's just that your brother is, and your sister-in-law, his wife, they're such good parents because of their patience. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I ain't got that. Mm-hmm. I don't have that kind of patience. Like, I watched one of the kids broke a giant vase, like big plant, smashed all over the ground because he was like climbing on the couch and he was trying to tie a thing to this other thing. Stuff you probably shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, here comes an ass kicking. And then, or at the very least, a stern talking to. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened. It was like, oh, are you okay? No, stand over there. I got to clean this glass up. And I'm like, oh. This is almost like you broke the vase at the mall. And then they're like, whoa, 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 just step aside. We're going to get a you're fine. And I'm like, dude, if I did that at my mom's house, I would have had a, one time she broke a wooden spoon over my back. Oh, yeah. I was older.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was older. I was
this
like.
This was at Christmas.
Yeah. I wasn't seven. I was like 14, 13, middle school. Yeah. About the time I got to middle school, she stopped hitting me with her hands because her hands would go numb because I was too big now. And my mom's a tiny lady. And so she started to have to use weapons. She had to improvise. And so I remember one time, I don't even remember what she was mad about, but she grabbed a wooden spoon and she bashed me over the back with it and it snapped. And she was, so, and then she got mad at me because I broke her spoon. She's like, "You broke my spoon!" And I'm like, "What? All right, I guess." And then, but
I don't think I broke your spoon. Okay,
I think my shoulder blade had something to do with it. I don't know. But she was so angry about it, she wouldn't throw the rest of the spoon away. So for years, we had a short wooden spoon, and she would mix with it, and she would just mix with this little spoon. Remember? Oh. Every time I mix, I remember.
Never forget. That was her 9/11. Yeah,
that was our 9/11, was that wooden spoon. It was like half the tower, you know? Just that's all that was left.
I got to think a parent's like best time is when they realize their kid is big enough for them to like get at.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, he's big enough now? I'm going to punch him. I'm going to go off on this kid. I think that was my dad. As soon as I was like as big as him when I was like 13, he was like, you're done, buddy. He's like, don't forget, you're bigger than me, but I can still kick your ass. Like, okay, here we go. You sure can.
I remember I had my buddy Joe, he has a stepson who's a lot bigger than him at an early, like at 11. And I was like, well, how are you going to discipline? He's like, I'll punch him in the nuts, dude. He's like, you think I'm fighting fair with this giant? Right there. Yeah, now we're at eye level, aren't we? That stuff, I don't know. That stuff's scary. But so we went on a Reddit forum because we Googled, does anyone regret not having kids?
Like when you're older.
Like when you're older. No. And someone asked that question in a very rude way on Reddit. Hey, old people. That's how the Reddit. Yeah, that's how the Reddit thread started. Hey, old people. Anyone over 60 regret not having kids? Mm-hmm. And the first few comments were like, "Yeah, you could have phrased that better." Yeah.
Bit of a different terminology, but sure.
Sure. Yeah, let's get our windbag responses ready for you. And but the best one that I read, I assume it was from a lady, but she said, I don't regret it. The hardest part was my generation, everybody had kids. Mm-hmm. So when I would hang out with people my age, it would just be conversations about their kids. And then as I got older, conversations about their grandkids. And they were always conversations where I felt like I couldn't participate mm-hmm. because I felt left out. Now, other than that, I didn't really have an issue or a regret with it. But she finished her post with this great quote. She goes, I would rather regret not having them than having them and regretting it.
That is so wise.
It's such, do you get what I'm saying? I would rather regret not having kids than having kids and regretting I had them.
So does this person have kids?
No. Oh, okay, this person
was like, it sounds like you regret having kids.
Yeah.
Which we also Googled, according to an article in Australia, 5 to 14%.
thought it was more. It was like 20.
No, no, no. Oh, okay. It was between 5 and 14% of parents with kids regret having kids, which isn't that high if you think of all the people that have kids. Unless, you know, if you're one of the, that's a tough gig. Yeah.
They regret having kids like when they hit their 30s and they realize they're a real piece of work. They're just garbage, stealing people in and out of jail. Like, no, I regret it at this point. I think maybe I had something to do with it.
I wonder if like Jeffrey Dahmer's dad was ever like, I shouldn't have had kids. Like, because you can't be positive in that one. Like, well, we had our moments.
Yeah.
You know? Remember George from Young Sheldon? And they were asking about what parenthood is like because George, you got that girl pregnant. He's like, ah, he's like, is it all bad? He's like, ah, went to the river once. That wasn't bad. Remember that line? And I was like, yeah, that's.
No one's ever sold kids to me. I still haven't bought in.
Most of our generation hasn't bought in.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, most.
It's a tough one.
It's so
and
hard.
I feel like our generation, there's going to be a lot more people that don't have kids as opposed to the one before us where we were reading that comment where the lady was like, yeah, I was pretty much one of the only ones. So we're not going to be pioneers.
No. Yeah. No, we're definitely not going to be Christopher Columbus. We're going to be the migrants.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of us.
I think it'll be a lot less lonely if we don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It won't be like generations past where not having a kid was like really weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like face tattoos, you know, like it's like if I came in tomorrow with a face tattoo, you're like, oh, yeah, it's not that weird. I mean, it's weird, but I'm surprised you did it. But there's a lot of people that got it. So it's not that weird.
Mm-hmm.
So like if we end up not having kids, there's going to be a huge community of our age group throughout life not having kids, you know.
Yeah.
Or we can go rent one of those, not rent, adopt one of the, you know, from the other countries. Take one of those.
Yep.
That's the energy you came in with.
And you know what? I, you know what I'm really proud of between the two of us? And you too, Mike?
Sure.
We kept the energy we entered the room with.
Yeah.
I came in hot. I came in like a personal trainer on his third client, fifth Red Bull. All right, and you came in like a little regular tone, maybe not the best night of sleep. Mm-hmm. And Mike, you brought the fire. You brought fire. Mm-hmm. And between the three of us, with our powers combined, we made this episode pretty damn good.
I think so.
Safe Journal, safejournal.co, 25% off. Zoltan at checkout and a handwritten note by yours truly. ZoltanComedy.com. Check out my tour dates. Goodbye, everybody.
Trekking heavy or traveling light. There's one thing that's right wherever I go. That's where I am.